Well, Yoga Radio Sessions is back. And we are trying to talk English today because we have a very special guest. Me, Kurt Lundberg, and Christian Wigert. We have Ronnie Gardiner, drummer, and I should say a legend. Or, Ronnie,
thanks,
welcome.
Thank you.
Ah,
I'm honored to be here.
Yeah, thanks. We are honored. And Christian?
Yes, I would say a short introduction, or I would say Ronnie is 84 years young, and and I met Ronnie through my mother actually, where she stays in Lidingö, and for Kurt and I, the connection with yoga and rhythm, the connection of rhythm and music is essential when we do our yoga DJ sessions, and also when I do my yoga. So I almost always have rhythm and music, and this is where we sort of connected, isn't that so, Ronnie? We connected about the movement and rhythm thing.
Exactly. Was your mother mentioned what you were doing about yoga, and I said, oh, I want to meet this man, and well, that's why I'm here today, and now I've met Kurt, and it feels good. It's very harmonic here in this little studio here. It's an honor to be here.
And you're from Rhode Island, and you came to Sweden like 61?
I took the grip zone. I left September 19th, 1962, and I arrived. And I got off in Copenhagen. My original plan was to get off in Gothenburg to go to Sweden. However, my gut feeling told me to get off in Copenhagen. I think it's going to work out for you, and that was the right decision. It did turn out right.
And you were a jazz drummer, and you want to go to Scandinavia for jobs? Or?
Well, what happened, I was very lucky. I was a house drummer. I don't know if you know what a house drummer is. A house drummer is a drummer that plays with everybody. He's stationary. The bass player, the piano player, the rhythm section is stationary. And I lived I was playing in a club in New London, which is not very far from where I lived in Rhode Island. And it's about 2.5 drive to from New York City to this club called the Fiddler's Three. And I was very lucky. They chose me to be the drummer. And they got all the big stars in the world in jazz and on Sunday concerts. And I was the drummer. So I had the pleasure of playing with Zoot Sims and just to name these, Buck Clayton, Charlie Shavers, Dick, all these great players. And it was just fantastic. Zoot Sims. And
you were just saying Dexter Gordon.
Yeah, I played a lot with Dexter too. So I played with these people, and so I got a great deal of experience. And I think for any musician, it's the best to be able to play the different styles. But it was, again, music, and that's why. I was thinking my mother and father had passed away, and I wanted to, well, I was a bachelor, and I just figured I'd like to go to somewhere in Europe. And I asked all the musicians, and I remember particularly Toots Thielemans and Zoot Sims, Club Terry, they mentioned Sweden was the best.
Okay.
Yeah, and I understand your father was very supportive. He went with you to the clubs and he was very supportive of your your career.
Very much so. I realize more than ever now how much my dad meant to me. I realized that he had a full-time job as a chef. He'd come home late. But I was playing when I was 14 years old. I was playing two nights a week, Wednesdays and Saturdays. And he would be there. You know, it was actually illegal because they're drinking, I mean, having alcohol.
Yeah.
But he had to be there. So I mean, he'd stay there and 12 o'clock and he'd get up and take me home and driving in the snowstorms and things. And as you get older, you begin to realize how the big role your parents play with you. I'm beginning to realize it more and more and more.
But when you came to Sweden, you were lucky then too, because you got a job as a drummer?
I was very lucky. It started in Copenhagen, actually.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. On the 27th of December, 1962, I was down to my last 15, Danish aura. And I was going to my room where I live. I had a roommate with me from Connecticut named Joe Cravino. And, he had a girl there in the room, and I couldn't bother him. So I had to go someplace, and I went to Montmartre. I think they took 10 crowns to get in, but they recognized me, and they said, okay, you don't have to pay. But I only have 15 crowns to my name. I only had a one-way ticket. And it's 11:45. It's a little Cinderella story, really, and it's true. And Dexter Gordon was playing with Niels Hennings, the great bass player.
Yeah, he was playing with Oscar Peterson.
Yeah, exactly. And so I walked in, and just then, William Schiff was the drummer. He's the great Danish drummer at the time, with Niels and Dexter. And they all waved their hands, come up, come on. And they pointed up one. They only went last tune of the set. And okay, well, what happened? The drummer had been drinking for 2 days. It was lucky he, over here you have a Christmas day, and then what you call Anandale, second day, right? So the drummer had been drinking for 2 days. Thank goodness, because he couldn't play anymore. That was the last. And they called me to play, and I played one number, Charlie Parker's Billy's Bounce, and there was drum solos. And the waiter come running up and said, there's a man who wants to speak to you. There's a man who wants to speak. And it was a rather heavy-set man, and his name was Paul Hansen. I couldn't speak Danish at the time. And he just said, well, I just bought Adlon a couple of weeks ago, and I have a Danish band and an Italian band. Italian music was very popular back then. And he said, I would like to have your band if you have one. Oh, yes, I have a band. I didn't have a band. No. And so then he said, here's my card. I'd like you to come to my office, and we can talk about this. So I said, well, can we wait? Can we wait until after the New Year? Because New Year's is coming. And but in the meanwhile, I had to get a band. I didn't have a band. I said I wanted to be with my girlfriend over the weekend, and I didn't have a girlfriend. So I had no money, no band, and So that's how it worked out. Anyway, I asked some of the Danish musicians, and I did get a band. Then I walked in the street, and I bumped into a guy named Henrik Iversen, and he was married to the singer who I was going to have in my band. That was her name was Rosita Thomas. So he asked me, how are you doing, Ron? I said, yes, fine, but I got to get a band together. And he says, could you use a singer? Yeah. He says, my wife sings. She's from the States. She's a black lady from the States, I think Minnesota. And could you use her? Yeah. Gee, then I got to get a place to rehearse. You can come to my place. I got a piano there. So it all went together. I rehearsed the band, put a repertoire together. I went into the 2nd of January, 10 o'clock, met Mr. Hansen. And so he says, well, okay, when I can hear your band? I said, anytime. I had rehearsed and chosen a nice danceable repertoire. So I go and it was set for the 4th of January, 1963.
Yeah. Great.
And I got a 3 months contract. And then I later opened Opera Shelling when I came in, my man.
You were working at Montmartre, yes.
Montmartre.
So Montmartre is not Montmartre in Paris?
No. I've been
there's a lot of name dropping here for us youngsters. you also have worked, later you worked with a lot of Swedish artists like Lasse Lönndahl, like Charlie Norman, who was your...
He was the real one.
You worked with him like for 30 years.
30 years, yes.
And Alice Babs.
Alice, yeah.
And some more, can you name some?
Putte Wickman, Ani Demneris, just
Lil Babs also.
Yes, absolutely.
All the legends.
Yeah, and all these great musicians you have in Sweden today, they're just fantastic.
But you had that own band at Gröna Lund, Tivoli Orchestra.
10 years.
10 years, yeah.
Yeah. And I had a place called Ronnie's Room, which just is around the corner from here.
Yeah, it's at Nolan.
Nolan. It was 8 years there, it was called Ronnie's Room. Yeah. Then we had 2 years at Fashion. We did Saturdays, did it for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So altogether, there was a Ronnie's Room for 10 years.
And you still play, and Sunday you have a gig?
Yes.
In Spånga?
In Spånga.
2 days from this interview.
Yeah.
Or this talk. Kurt doesn't like the word interview. It's more like a talk.
It's friendlier. Yes, I'm playing the way I'm playing with Oscar Peterson's last guitar player.
Yeah.
Ulf Fakenius from Göteborg. Yeah, yeah. And yeah. Janne Lundgren, Hans Buckner with myself. It's going to be at Spånga Folken at 7 o'clock in Eton.
Yeah. It's super nice that you are still playing.
Why not? I mean.
But you're doing other things too, you know.
Yes, I know.
That's one of the reasons you're here.
Yes. We saw you in this documentary where you had a dress. You were dressed in blue and red, and you were having a sort of philosophical speech about living in the present to this audience. What was this all about? What was your mission on the stage that time? What did you do?
Okay, I'll try to explain it as short and sweet as possible. And actually, the whole thing was I guess this whole thing started about the worst time in my life, actually. Yeah. I was playing with Charlie Don Newman in the Grand Canaries in San Agustin. And make a long story short, I'd loaned money to this friend of ours.
And what age what year do we?
We're talking about 1980. It was March 11th. And my fiance was murdered. We'd been together 16 years. And we didn't get married because she had a widow's pension. And if she married me, she would have lost that. And my life was up and down. As a musician, you can't count on anything. You never know how it is. Sometimes you're hot, sometimes you're cold. Mm-hmm. And so my wife said, well, we always can use part of my pension anyway, and this will make it easier on you without the pressure. And I didn't want the pressure at the same time to get married because I wouldn't be able to. I didn't know what I was. I didn't have a steady income. Anyway, I was in Gran Canarias, excuse me, and she was murdered on the 11th of March, 1980, and it was the most difficult time of my life. Excuse me.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that film that Christian was talking about.
Did you? Yeah.
I think it's a very emotional film. Movie, you can still see it on SVT Play. YouTube. I recommend it strongly.
Thank you. Anyway, when I was 16 days later, I just hit the bottom. I didn't want to live anymore. Mm. I felt guilty that I loaned this fellow money. As it turned out, he was a gambler, and I didn't know that. I would have never loaned him the money. And he couldn't pay back. He was from a wealthy Spanish family. And so he killed her, and it was a terrible thing. This was the big hammer, the big, big hammer. And he hit her in the head.
You was there.
I came in a few minutes too late. Yeah. She still was breathing, and he was trying to kill me. He planned a double murder. And it's a miracle that I survived. But 16 days later, Thursday, the 27th of March, that year, 1980, I decided that I had it. I'm going to drown myself. I don't swim. I'm very good athletically. I have all this, but my mother kept me away from the water, so I'm not a swimmer. Mm. And so on the way, I only have about 3 more minutes to get to the sea, and I see a boy without any arms and legs, and he smiles at me.
Sitting in a garden?
He was sitting, on a table outside of the bungalow number 15 over, at that time it was the Bing Risa swimming pool in the Monte Rojo. And I looked at him and I was wondering, is he real? Because it came at the perfect time in my life. If it was a fellow with one arm or anybody with one arm or two arms missing or three, but he had the four limbs missing. I've never seen a quadriplegic in my life. And yet he just radiated a smile to me. which changed my life. Yeah. And I was thinking, how can he smile? Look, he's about 16, 17 years old, good-looking guy, and he was smiling at me, but his smile changed my life. I realized I had a reason to be here. And so I thought, I'm here to do a reason. And then what shall I do? I mean, where am I going to start? I want to help people. And then the word rhythm came to my mind. Because I started thinking about life. The first thing we experience in our life is the beat of is the mother's heartbeat. Mm-hmm. That's rhythm. And you get your own beat in your heart, right? And then you begin to think about life. You look at the trees, you know about the snow, you think about the seasons. The whole universe is actually in a rhythm. It's called the circadian rhythms, the 24-hour rhythm. So this was my theme. I started to really focus on rhythm. Then I started reading about movement, about babies. And that's a rhythm, too. It takes about 9 months to be born. That's a rhythm, right? We even know when Halley's Comet's coming in our
and even making babies is rhythm.
And making babies rhythm. Well, that's where it starts too. Yeah, right. So it's all about rhythm. That's what my focus was. And then I was started reading about the brain. I had no idea about it, about the left cerebral hemisphere controlling the right body movements, and the right hemisphere controlling the left, and the dominant center for most movement. Dominant because it's about communication and speech. The speech center is in most of us is on the cerebral left hemisphere. Reading, writing, arithmetic, and all that. That's the logical, what we learn in the schools. That's why it's called the dominant side. The right side is the more freer, spirited, and holistic type of thinking. And you need both and to get a balance in life. And so it's sort of art and science. I believe that they can work together in harmony with each other. So that was my theme. I'm coming from the artistic side. I certainly wasn't the scholastic side. However, it takes me longer to catch up to things. And then I started putting my ideas together. Then I realized, I want to help something. But rhythm's got to be the first. Then I begin to think, if you're going to start, what rhythm will you start with? You walk, right? That's a rhythm. And the most measurable rhythm to use would be a 60. Why 60? 60 seconds a minute. That's one motion to every second. So it's easy to measure. So this was going to be the rhythm I'm going to start. And when you start working with motion furniture, you're going to walk. You're going to walk in tempo, right, left, right to the left. And then you want to get a smoother movement. And let's say we take it to 66. That's a 10% increase. Let's take it to 72. That's 20%. Let's take it to 80, 33 and a third. Let's take it to 90, 50%. Let's take it to 100, 66 and two-thirds. Let's take it to 120, 100%. So those numbers were very important. They took those exact tempos because you're measuring. You have something scientific to measure. Now, remember, I'm a artistic side of the family. But all of a sudden, when I started writing, I had to begin to think logical. And this is how my left brain was growing. And then I started to think, I want to be able to use a sound. What's my sound? Well, I'm right-handed. What does my right hand do? I'm going ting, 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 ting. That's going to be ting. What about my right foot? What's my right foot saying? Boom, boom, boom. That's the bass drum. What's my left foot saying? That's hi-hats, two cymbals. Chick, 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 chick. What's my left hand going? Ba, 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 or da, whatever. Those are the four things. Drummers have this coordination, and it's multitasking to the maximum. And then I think, I'm going to make my own language. And I said, well, gee, if you put a ting and a boom together, what would it be? Ah, that would be toom. If you put a ba and a chick together, that would be bick. If you put a chick and a boom together, it would be choom. And bang, and a hand clap. And then I had gone up in the air with the pings and the da's, and so I got 19 total movements. Then I thought, gee, I got to make it easier. And I was washing my hands one day, and I realized, color. Ah. And I saw a little red dot on the left, and I saw a blue dot on the right. Hot water, cold water. The red was on the left. Let's make the red side of the body left. Let's make the right side of the body blue. Then I started making pictures of hands and feet. And then I put numbers over 1, 2, 3, 4. I could put a red hand, a blue foot, Redford, whatever, then you know exactly what to do. But you also have to say the right words. Ting, boom, chick, pa at the same time. So this means that your both hemispheres are working together, physically and mentally, because you have to say the right word, you look into the right color, and you got to make the right movements.
And did you have a plan for, did you have a plan for how to use this?
Yes. Well, my thought was, actually, if we're going to make a healthy society, we should start with children. I think this is the word, how the world should be, with the proper parents, training. And you get all your influence from the outside, your school teachers, of course your parents first. And I hope everyone is brought up with love. And when you have love and harmony, it's going to make you harmonic. And these movements, they're not going to hurt you. They only can enhance you and develop you better in coordination, balance, memory, speech. Something good is going to happen. And it's a fun way of teaching. And this is what keeps me going. I love what I'm doing. I feel I'm a blessed man. There's two things that I really love. I love life. But the key that keeps me burning, my passion, it's drumming, and it's my method.
Yeah, but you told us about the change. You decided not to commit suicide. You decided that you're going to live on.
Yeah.
And you thought that you wanted to make a sort of positive contribution to society.
Yes.
How did that appear to you? Was it like a spiritual awakening?
Sort of, I think so. When I saw Michael, I can't say I'm particularly religious, but it was something like a divine intervention somehow. There was some kind of power I felt that was very strong. And I remember Kennedy making thing, what can your country do for you? No, that very famous inaugural speech he made. What can you do to your country? And I wanted to take it one step further. Yeah.
Because actually you lost everything. You had the love of your life and you had a perfect job. I mean, as you told in the film, you didn't have to drag your drums to, you had them in one place and you had the sunshine and you had everything in life.
It was everything. And I was playing volleyball every day, and she liked to swim and she would swim every day. I liked the food and the whole atmosphere, and playing with Charlie, because Charlie, I think, was the artist in Sweden that played for me the most jazz. He was playing the music of Oscar Peterson. He's playing Boogie Woogie, Earl Garner, Duke Ellington, Count Basie. There was no other artist playing that fun music. Charlie had the knack of putting humor together with good music, and I was honored to be his drummer, and it was a beautiful experience. And here I had the sun, I had my beautiful lady with me, and this beautiful life, and I felt in excellent physical form. I was running, and it was just magic. It was beautiful, and I lost it all. Yeah. I lost it all just like that.
Ronnie, I would like to play something from your last record.
Yeah, sure.
So we can, Christian can cough a little.
Yeah, me yes. too.
yeah.
And it's a record was out in December or something.
In December.
A live CD.
What? I don't know which one you're talking about.
Okay. It would be a surprise for you.
Well, it's going to be a surprise.
Let's play it.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay. It's very funny, because you never heard it.
Never heard it.
But you were playing the drums.
That's true. I knew Broda said they were gonna put this one out, but I don't have a copy of this.
It's called Vi tar vad vi har.
God, I never heard this.
Grab what's there.
Grab. Okay, I gotta call Klasse Broda about this one.
It's Klasse Broda on
saxophone.
Yeah. And Ulf Johansson Värre.
And Kurt is playing a bass.
Kurt Andersson.
Bass.
It's so on iTunes and everywhere if you want to buy it.
Thank you.
So back to this. You developed this method and you started with children.
It was based for children because we want to start a healthy society, start with the children.
And what happened then?
Actually, this method actually healed me. It put me together again. It was about 7 rough years, I'll tell you. And what kept me together was music. Charlie was taking more jobs than ever before, and all the musicians in Sweden were calling me, got to keep Ronnie working, don't let him think too much. That was very nice of them. And Red Mitchell, at the time, it was the first, Bosse Stenhagen had the first Stockholm Jazz Festival. That was 1980. Yep. And it was thanks to Red Mitchell, he put in the good word, and he says, well, make Ronnie the house drummer. Keep him busy. I'm going to be in the summer. And so I played with Clark Terry and Johnny Griffin, Sven Asmussen, who just passed away, unfortunately, Put the Bickman, Tommy Flanagan, and all these great players, Johnny Griffin and Clark. You know, it was just magic, and that was wonderful. Kept me occupied, and it really lifted my spirits. So it was music and friends, both musically and people not connected with the music, but they kept me going, and those were the two things that really kept me alive, because I was contemplating taking my life again. Dark moments, of course. And the pictures of what I saw in that room that day will really never ever leave. And it's a person I love very much. We had a great time together. She was a fantastic person. She loved music. So anyway, that put me together again. And then I was playing a concert in Spånga with Scott Hamilton, I believe it was, and a man comes from the Stroke Association from Stockholm named Bertil Nyman. And he says, Ronnie, I heard that you've written something. I'm at the Stroke Association here in Stockholm, and I heard that you've got something that could help stroke patients. Well, it wasn't designed for stroke. It was for children, but we can give it a try. So now it's just about Lucia's Day. So he said, come into my office after the holidays. Come in and say about the 5th or 6th, 6th or 7th of January, and we'll talk about it. And I went to in Fruingen. That was the headquarters there. He looked at it. 10 minutes later, he says, we set the gong. Let's go for it. Okay, and I had everything written in R for the right side of the body and left for the pictures, and so I had to change everything to V and Ho, to left and rights and so forth. And it took me time. I got ready, and my first experience was teaching 3rd of February, 1993. And about 16 volunteers came, and they stuck with me for 6 years, 6 years. And that's what I started teaching, and I was experimenting with these movements and sounds. And after the 6th week, there was one lady just made a remarkable gain. All of a sudden, she was smiling. She began to put lipstick on again. She was smiling. Her motions got her flow in her body. And she ignited the whole group and ignited me. And then TV4, I think it was Victor Nordenskiold, came he did something else. He did an interview. But I was invited on TV4, excuse me, at the time, to do a program with them. So it was the first time they were shown, and I was a nice picture of the lady who made a remarkable recovery. They put a picture in Expressen with her and myself, how she changed. Her neurologist could never understand how she made that remarkable recovery. But
it seems now that the new research at Sahlgrenska, for example, they really see the connection that rhythm and movement can also work for patients with aphasia, with MS,
absolutely,
and various kinds of maybe even ADHD, neuropsychiatric disorders.
Exactly.
I think Parkinson's disease is...
Parkinson's also. They're related with the central nervous system, of course, but they're all a little different. They're all individual, of course. And for instance, if you're going to work with ADHD for ADD, those you have to take short turn, like say 15, 20 minutes to start with, and only preferably one-on-one, because they're not able to focus. They're too spread out. You have to get them to focus. However, with stroke, epoxy, you can take in a group, so that works easier.
But for example, if you have like ADHD person, what kind of work do you do with this person?
The same basically thing, but you just slow everything down. Slow it down. Take your time. Like I say, and don't take too long with them. You can teach groups. You can work in 30, 40 minutes possibly, but not with ADHD. You have to take it very slowly. Let's start with 5 minutes, and then you say, this is the right hand. Just can you tap your thigh and just go ting at the same time? And ready? I'm going to count 1, 2, 3, 4, slowly, ready? And you just go 4, just the right hand. Make the right hand move as you think. And focus now. 1, 2, 3, 4. And say, ting. And move your right hand, touch your thigh. Ting, 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 ting. So now they're saying a word, and they know that ting means the right hand. It's going to be moving. It's a blue side of the body. That nice picture, you see a blue hand. And they're doing it, and they're counting 1, 2, 3, 4. It can be 1, 2, 3. You can change the rhythms. But they're doing, now let's try your right foot. Boom, boom, boom. Same thing. Let's try the left foot. Chick, 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 chick. Let's take the left hand. What's the name of the left hand? They think, ba. Yeah, that's right. And what color is the ba? It's red. Yeah, that's right. But 1, 2, 3, 4. Ba, 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 ba. So they now doing the four limbs at the same time. Now let's take a ting, boom, ting, boom. Can we try that one? Well, okay, what's the right hand? What color is it? Is it red? No. What color thing? It's blue. What limb is it? Is it a hand or a foot? They have to begin to think of this now, okay? And now the right hand. It's a blue hand, right? Okay, ready? Now can we take a ting, boom? That's the right side of the body. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4. Ting, boom, ting, boom, ting. Good. What about the left side of the body? What's that? Ba, chick. Okay. What color is it? Red. 1, 2, 3, 4. Ba, chick. Ba, chick. So you work very slowly. Okay. I think that's enough of that. Just before we leave today, can we take the ting, boom, chick, ba? Can we try that? Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4. Ting, boom, chick, ba, ting. It's tactile, you're touching the body, you're using the voice, you're keeping your rhythm, you're having fun, you're seeing colors. All these things are being processed in the brain. But very short while. Okay, Johnny or Mary, whatever, thank you for today. That's enough. Oh, no, I want to do more. Well, we take it slow. And then little by little, build into them. They get to know you, you laugh together. What kind of music do you like? And they'll say, you know, they'll tell you the music. Get to know the person. Because when you're working with those children, you have to have more of a direct contact. Many times, they're not with you. And you want to try to meet their eye, you want to touch, get to know them so they have confidence in you and have fun.
And now this method has been exported to Holland, to Great Britain. So it's a big interest in your method.
It's spreading very well. I would say the... In Holland is the leading country with this method today. It's thanks because I got the right person to run it. I was lucky. They came to study with me in London 3 times to learn. It took them over a year to learn the thing. You spread it out. You take my target groups are physiotherapists, occupational therapists, logoped, speech therapist, music therapist. Let me see, school teachers, dancers. People who are working with motor skills and people with children and so forth. These are the target groups. So they study with me, say in London first. I started in Israel first, and then I went to London, and then from London to the Netherlands to Germany, so forth. And now in the future, she will be Spain. I have teachers there. I got teachers in about 14 different countries right now. And they have to get it going themselves first. They take small groups. The target groups are their specialties. It can be stroke, it can be Parkinson's, it can be dyslexics, so they can be MS, whatever. They work with something with their hearts. the people that want to help.
It seems like rhythm is, I usually say when Kurt and I, when we are out dancing or listening to music, I go to Kurt and I said, well, you know, it's the good old jungle drum again. It's the sort of beat is present in all kinds of music all over the world, and it seems like it's in our spines. And also I heard that that you also have your 25% Indian, and also for the Indians rhythm is very important.
Yes, you can even associate rhythm when you hear a sound. If I went like this, boom 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 boom, what do you think about? You're going to think of an Indian. Boom boom boom, that's the Indian rhythm. Boom 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 boom, it's 1 2 3 4 with the accent on the one strong one, so you get the feeling. And then every time you hear that beat, I just see Indians. It's always in the movies. They know how to use it. The Africans, they're using a 12-8. That's a 12-8 rhythm. That's basically the Africans. Then, of course, in Brazil, you have the samba. And you go to Argentina, you got the tango. And you got
In Sweden.
You know, it's a Sweden's a 3-4 country. It's built on a 3 rhythm, really. You take anybody on the upper age, and today with hip hop and the younger people, it's they're losing that kind of thing. But this, the basic folk music of Sweden is based on you got your hambos too, and you got all your different type of things. But the 3-4 is the real rhythm that Swedish people like, the older people.
I saw that film. It was a film from the Royal School of Music in London.
Yeah.
Where you were doing a workshop with the percussion players.
Yes.
Was that it was youngsters. Yeah. They have no Parkinson or so ever. Mm. They were just teaching.
Yeah, you saw that?
Yeah, I saw it.
Great.
It was very, very funny to look at when they were following you, all these things, and I had a lot of fun, I think.
That was a fun. I never forget that. That's in London at the Royal Academy of Music.
Yeah.
Yes, I was there as a guest invited, and that was a great honor. It was a great honor, and they loved it. We had so much fun.
I saw that, yeah.
So I think we're on the right track then when we combine yoga with music, yoga with rhythm.
It is perfect.
Yeah.
It is perfect, because you got to get into the... The thing about what you're doing with yoga, you're dealing with the brain, of course, and this is part I want to incorporate what you're using, more or less, because you're doing a many slow-moving meditative motions, circular motions in with your arms, and I've added that. It's a new thing I've added, using circular motions, because they're very important. It's much more controlled. It's more meditative. It's more Eastern, Japan and Chinese and so forth. And in the Western world, we're working with more speed through the brain. We're working faster, you know, and with the aerobics and so forth. But my method is really about East and West. It's about a balance. Because now we talked about those tempos of 60, remember, and going up. Well, with the method, complete method, you want to slow it down and go the other way and take it down to 50s and go down to 40s. And you're slowing the movement, which calls much more control of the body and the mind.
Exactly, and because we're rushing around, we're in stress constantly, we go to the gym and we pump iron and it goes very fast, so yoga gives an opportunity to slow down and to reach deep into your tissue, and also becomes a meditation in itself.
Absolutely, so I agree with exactly, that's why I really be honored to see you and Kurt, because I'm sure I'm going to get something out of that, because I've always believed that life is about a balance. If you have a North Pole, you got to have a South Pole. If you got an East, you got a West. We have to have the dichotomies in life. And I think this is why I'm getting so much out of my life right now. I've been about the lowest you can get in my life. I hit the bottom. Anytime you're going to take your life, you've hit bottom. And it was just, I happened to see the right guy at the right time. Especially without the four limbs.
Yeah. You have to tell us what happened later. After 16 years, you found him.
19 years and 54 days.
19 years.
You found a guy with no arms, no legs.
Yes. It's strange, because I've been looking for him all the time. And I was, when they started writing, there was articles in these magazines about me, and I would always ask if anybody knows about this whereabouts of this boy who lived in bungalow number 15 over the Bing Russell swing pool in Monte Roll.
You thought it was a dream sometimes.
I begin to doubt myself if I really saw this. I begin to wonder, was it something spiritual, and maybe if there's a God, or I don't know, but did God put that person there for me to see at that moment? And it was just something, a figment of my own imagination. I didn't know. I was beginning to doubt myself. Year after year is going by, and I'm trying to find him. Anyway, there was a program they were going to make for Swedish television. It was called, När blixten slår ner, for Swedish, which means when lightning strikes down.
Yeah.
Well, it's how a stroke is. You're walking along, and all of a sudden, that's what a stroke you can be. Whatever, your whole life changes. Anyway, they were making a program, and they asked if I could be part of that program. You know, when they make a TV program, you film it 3 or 4 months before. It's going to be done in October, but they film it in May. So this is what happened. So they wanted to see my stroke class. They interviewed them. That was the last time I actually was going to teach, because I decided in 1999 that I was going to start working and teaching my method to people that could learn to use my method. That was the year. And I had a lady named Anna Sheldine at the time. She would take my place, because sometimes I couldn't make it myself, so I trained her just to keep my classes going. When you're working with a class, you can't break off and say, well, I'm going to come this week, I'm not coming this next week. You have to keep a steady rhythm going. And rhythm again. And so she did. She helped me out. And it was very nice. I taught her. So she took over my classes, because I was playing with Charlie Norman. I was doing Putte Vik, playing with Putte and Ove Lind and Hacky Bjorkstein and different groups. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they collided. And of course, I'm Charlie's drummer. I gotta play. But Anna kept me going. She kept the thing going. Anyway, I called up Anna and I said, Anna, when's the last class? And she said, Ronnie, the 20th of May. So, and then I told Victor Nordenschild, he was the man from the TV. He said, okay, I will come there. And he had a man named Carl Beckman as his cameraman. And they came to film this. They filmed everything, interviewed people. It was fantastic. And I'm leaving the building now. And at the last minute, Victor says, Ronnie, how did you come up with this idea? And he said, do you have a minute to go back in? This is the strangest, because I'm finished teaching. I'm all through teaching. I've done it. And I'm leaving the door, and he asked me this question as we're leaving. And I don't know. And he says, so I told him, okay, let's go back. So the cameraman, we sit down, and I told him about this boy I saw. And Carl Beckman, the cameraman, says, wait a minute, Ronnie, I think I know who you're looking for. This is true. So I said, who? And so where? And he says, I did a program with a guy out on the West Coast. He's from Lirum, and he works for some kind of automobile place. I think it's called Auto Adapt or something. Birum. It was Birum then. And so I tried to, and he gave me the telephone number and everything, but it actually wasn't the right number. It was the fax number at the time. So I was getting ready. I was playing at the same time at Musa Baka in Cornelius's room with Peter Nadal and Patrick Boomen and Lisa Ekdahl. We're getting ready to go to Paris for 1 week to play. And that was the last concert to test out our material up in Musa Baka. And I had about a half an hour before. And I says, gee, I got to call this Carl Beckman. Now, all of a sudden, I had a strong feeling. I got to call. I've been calling for a week. Nothing happened. And I went out in the booth, and out there's green old telephone in Musa Baka Square. I went out in that old telephone, and I called Carl. I said, Carl, it's Ronnie Gardner. What is it? That number you gave me was a fax number. You did another number. Oh, it's right. It's called Auto Adapt. Call them. So the next morning, I was excited. I called. We were getting ready to go to Paris in 2 more days. And I called them the 3rd of June, and I called to the office, and it was Auto Adapt. What can we do for you? I said, my name's Ronnie Gardner. I'm looking for a Michael. Is there a Michael here? They give me the name Michael, no last name. Yeah, yeah. They said, call him. He's on the way to Barbary. He's driving there. He's our salesman. And I laughed, and I said, no, it can't be Michael, because the Michael I'm looking for, he has no arms. He's no arms and no legs, and you're telling me he's going to answer a mobile phone. Yeah, he can. So they give me the telephone number. I call him, and he said, and that was Michael Anderson. And that's when I talked with Michael the first time. But the day that I found out from Carl Beckman who Michael was, it was the 20th of May. It was my fiancée's birthday.
Wow.
I was 47, she was 57 that day. Mm. It was a strange coincidence. Is it coincidence or whatever? It makes you wonder. I've had a lot of these experiences, and that was a strong one for me. And I realized it was like a gift from her. It was her birthday. Yeah. And it was Michael. I found who he was. Later, I talked to Michael, and he told me he had his driver's license. He had two children at the time, his wife, Christina, and he told me a little about his story. And we met we met in October. He was busy, I was busy, but we did meet out in Bakkeby.
Anyway, we are happy about the coincidence that I met you at my mother's, and if it is a coincidence or not, we don't know. But it's been really a pleasure and an honor to have you here, telling your story. And we're going all in for the rhythm and the movement. And I know that you have an appointment.
Oh, don't worry. I'm ready. It's just across the street.
Yeah,
that's a coincidence.
That's another coincidence. you had something to say, Kurt.
Yeah, I would like to say that Michael, he's also out teaching and talking to people.
He's fantastic. And I feel happy about there, because what happened there, really, I was having a lecture for handicapped persons in wheelchairs up in Sandviken. And they asked me to speak. And I spoke, and I looked at all these wheelchairs, and then I'd already known Michael. I've had contact with him. And I got home, and I said, I got to call Michael tonight. I got home, the first thing I got on the phone, I called Michael. I said, Michael. He said, what is it, Ronnie? What is it? Michael, I got a very, very important thing, something that you should be doing. What is it? He's working out in an automobile factory and designing and so on. What is it? Michael, please think about this. Start speaking, doing motivational speaking. No, I can't do it. Michael, you can do anything. You make up your mind to do it. You can do it, Michael. You have the charisma. You're a very wise man. You have a message to help people. Go out and do this, Michael. You can do it. I know you can do it. No. He said, no, I can't do that. I can't speak. And I said, Michael, you can do it. A year and a half later, he calls up Ronnie. Let's do it. And a friend named Ola Mu put it together with a friend he knew. And we did our first thing together in Göteborg. That's when it happened.
And now he's out.
And then
he's out on the road.
All the way teaching. And he's wonderful. And it's Norway and Sweden. And he's lectures. And I would recommend anyone see Michael do his speak, because it will change your life, and you realize you're not going to complain about if you got a little headache or you got a stomach ache or whatever.
Because so you can say that Michael put you on the track, and you, several years later, put him on the track.
Many years later. 21 years later. Yeah. You never know, isn't it strange? And Michael will tell you that, too. I've changed his life. I met his daughter last night, by the way. I went to an Anglo hotel and then met his sister. And they said, well, you've changed my dad's life. And Michael means a lot to me. And he certainly put me on the road. And that's why I'm here. Put me on this fantastic journey that I'm still on. And he calls up and he says, well, gee, I'm older than you, Ronnie. I said, what do you mean? Well, you're just going to be 37 on the 27th of March. Yeah, I mean, God, I'm going to be 37 this year. So I feel like I'm going to be 37. I'm sort of reborn.
That's super good. We have some other piece from that record we was playing.
Yeah.
And maybe we can stop the chat with that.
Yes. Well, you know, the usual commercial about the Yes Yoga telephone plan, but we can save that for next.
Everyone
next
knows
pod.
That.
Yeah, of course, where we combine rhythm and movement, which is the theme for today.
May I just say, I want to say thank you very much for giving me this wonderful opportunity to speak to on your radio station, to all the people who are working with it. But harmony is within. It's finding the inner peace, and your concept working with yoga and using rhythm and sound because it's tactile, it's meditative, you're using balance, it's coordination. In the Netherlands right now, it's going very good. Even people with MS now, the MS Association is paying 50% for them to take this method. And it's just fantastic. I feel I'm blessed to be traveling at my age and doing something. I know I've contributed something. I know this is my legacy. When I die, this will not die with me. And I think it's up to every individual to follow your heart, find out what makes you tick, and pass it out to others. But it's all based on love. It's all based on love. Love your fellow man. Or I don't mean man as man, I mean human being. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
And now another piece from that record you haven't heard?
No, excuse me. No, I haven't. Kurt, this was like, wow, this is new.
Okay.
Stuffy, I reckon.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.